All right, church, stand with me tonight. Choir, stand with me. Let's turn over to page number 57. Page 57, let's start the service tonight by singing Amazing Grace. Second, 'twas grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that. Standing. Brother Larry, would you take us, Lord, tonight in a word of prayer? Church, you can be seated. Choir, remain standing. Turn with me over to page number 113. Page 113, let's sing Glory to His Name. Of the Lord this evening. Please remember all of the prayer requests from this morning. We have many of those out there, some folks going through some very difficult times, and we just want to lift them all up in prayer. Please be in prayer for Brother Justin tonight as he brings our message. And what a great message this morning. Amen. And we're so thankful for him, for all that he brings, and all the time that is spent in preparation for the word, and I'm very thankful for that. I believe we have a man that has a heart for God, and I'm thankful for him. And I pray the Lord would just be with him tonight. And please, again, again, pray for some that are traveling, not back here with us this evening. And let's just go to the Lord again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. Brother Don, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer?
Thank you. turn left or right, but straight ahead, the cross in sight. He will guide you safely on to where troubles come no more.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, from rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. For I'm part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Yes, I'm part of the family of God.
I'm glad to be a part of the family of God tonight. Blessing that is. I want to mention a lady by the name of Kim Baxter. This is a friend of David and Miss Glenda Henderson. She had a stroke, and her husband has had many strokes. So if you would, just lift up Miss Kim Baxter in your prayers. I also wanted to mention a church blooper during Jubilee this past week. I just, we've talked about it, we've laughed about it a little bit, and I guess it was Wednesday night when Ford Road was over, we had someone to knock the camera stand over, and of course accidents happen, but so we set the camera stand back up, and then a little bit later that same night, about, I guess Brother Keith was just getting into his preaching, all of a sudden the camera went, and it just, almost like it was rebuked out of the camera stand, and it just flew out of the camera stand and hit the ground. And I went back a little later and watched the video, and I could, on that particular one, I could see me shuffling over there to grab the, leaning down to grab the phone. It was like this aerial view of it dropping and then me coming back and picking it up. And I think there was another time before those times that someone accidentally knocked it over. I think it was maybe another night, but reached down and grabbed it. I think Miss Shauna reached down and grabbed it before it actually hit the ground. So anyway, just some church bloopers during Jubilee this year. And I thought that was kind of funny. All right.
Job chapter 22
tonight. Job chapter number 22 is going to be our place of reading. And I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and we're going to read one verse. That's verse number 21. And before we pray, let's also remember the McClendon family, Miss Nancy, and Brother Bobby. They were here this morning, but their daughter Kelly has been staying with them since her husband Greg went home to be with the Lord, and then her son Tanner. I believe he's headed back to Georgia, UGA, for after spring break. So he's headed back there, and let's just continue to remember them, and in the passing of her son-in-law, Greg. Father, we love you tonight. We pray that in the next few moments would be beneficial. God, help me to properly and rightly divide your word. Holy Spirit, apply it to the hearts of your people. And by the time we leave, I pray that we would be a better Christian than when we came in these doors. Help us, Lord, to be surrendered totally, committed wholeheartedly. We love you tonight, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Job chapter 22, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Eliphaz is speaking in this chapter. Of course, Eliphaz, he is one of three of the friends of Job. Bildad and Zophar are the others. He records this back in Job chapter number 2, in verse number 11. And we know that Job's friends have been trying to let Job know why he's in the trouble he's in. And no different in this chapter. Eliphaz, he is attempting to reconcile Job back to God. And Eliphaz is continuing that thought that there is some kind of sin that's lying at the door. Some kind of hindrance, something that Job has done. Whether it's the self-righteousness of Job, Eliphaz tries to, and some others try to place upon Job as the reason why things are happening the way they are, or some kind of sin as the reason why some things are happening the way they are. Eliphaz is wrong in his approach to Job with these things, but in this particular verse, I believe his principles are not wrong. His principles are not wrong. Notice again what he says. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. The word acquaint here basically means to be familiar with. And let me just say that is great advice for any of us believers, is to better acquaint ourselves with Jesus, to get familiar with Him. Now, let me just say the first step in getting familiar with Him is getting familiar with Him in salvation. That's the first step. But then comes the acquaintance part, the day in, the day out part of knowing and learning things about the Lord. Tonight, for a few moments, I just want to use this verse and I want to preach just for a few moments on this subject, getting to know God. Getting to know God. There's a few things out of this verse I want to mention, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you and to myself, as it was when I was studying it. Number one, getting to know God involves a personal involvement. Notice again in verse 21, he says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. He says, acquaint now thyself with him. Three things are involved in this personal involvement of getting to know God. Number one, it's getting to know him in his likes and dislikes. Again, that word acquaint means getting to know or to be familiar with. And if we are going to get familiar with the Lord, get to know Him personally on a more intimate level, we need to know His likes and dislikes. And so acquaint now thyself with Him. So tonight, when it comes to getting to know God, it has to do with acquainting ourselves with Him, getting to know Him and His likes and dislikes. Number one, sin grieves the heart of God. Sin grieves the heart of God. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And so we can say that that's one thing that He doesn't like, is sin. It was sin that placed the very Son of God upon the cross. And so tonight, when it comes to getting to know Him and getting acquainted with Him, being familiar with Him, we learn that sin grieves Him. I don't know about you, but I know that I'm not a perfect person. And there's times in my life, even as a believer, where I sin. Sin can be broken down into two categories. Those things that we do that offends God. But then there's those things that we don't do that we should do that offends God. And so therefore, we're still all sinners. It's just we are saved sinners, those who are saved. And so I've learned in my own personal experience, there are some things that I do, some things that I've done that has definitely grieved the heart of God, even being saved. But there's also some things that I haven't done that I should have done being saved. I should have witnessed to that person. I should have preached a different sermon. I should have studied harder and longer. I should have I should have done some things a little sooner than I did. I should have went the extra mile here. I should have went the extra mile there. So many times I missed the mark, like we all miss the marks. And through my experience with the Lord, being saved 19 years, going on 20 years, I have definitely learned that sin displeases the Lord. But not only does sin displease the Lord, but there's some other things that please the Lord. Genuine faith pleases the Lord. Trusting in Him pleases the Lord. Love and operating out of love pleases the Lord. Obedience pleases the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews chapter number 11, somewhere around verse number 6, that it's impossible to please Him apart from faith. And so, and it goes on and talks about Noah and how that he was moved with fear and he built that ark. He had faith in God. He was obedient to God, though it didn't make sense at that particular time. Nobody heard of rain, but yet Noah kept on building that ark with a hammer and that nail. Obedience pleases God. And while I've learned there are some things that displeases the Lord in my salvation experience, my Christian journey, I can also say there are some things that I've done that pleases the Lord. Again, trusting in Him, operating out of love, obedience, to feel the nearness and closeness of God, I can testify of. To know that God blesses obedience, I can tell you that God has blessed me and my family because of obedience. And so through this process of learning some things that the Lord likes, some things the Lord dislikes, it is getting to know Him. So how is your walk with the Lord? Have you learned some things that He likes? Have you learned some things that He dislikes? You see, because it's within this relationship, we get to know Him. And while Eliphaz is wrong in his accusations against Job, I believe he's right in this statement where he says, acquaint now thyself with Him. It's always good to acquaint ourselves with the Lord. Get to know Him. Be familiar with Him. Tonight, when it comes to getting to know Him and His likes and dislikes, I can tell you, after being married to Christy for 17 years, I can tell you what she likes, and I can tell you what she dislikes. And if someone were to come up to me and say, Brother Justin, what do you think Christy would say about this? I was wanting to give her, let's just say it's close to her birthday, I was thinking about giving her this for her birthday. Of course, I wouldn't say no, she wouldn't like that, but I would know enough about my wife to know what she would like and what she would dislike. So, Brother Justin, what do you think Christy would say about this? You think she would like this? You think she would like that? I know her well enough to know what she likes and what she dislikes. Christy knows me well enough to know if someone were to go up to her and say, Miss Christy, you think Brother Justin would be for this? And she could tell you immediately what I'm for and what I'm not for. And that's because she is well acquainted with me, and I am well acquainted with her. And she knows my likes, my dislikes. I know her likes, and I know her dislikes. And you say, Brother Justin, has there ever been a moment in your marriage where you picked at her with her dislikes? Well, there's been a time or two, and there's been a time or two she picked at me with my dislikes. But it's all for playful banter. Tonight, it has to do with getting to know the Lord. It has to do with acquainting ourselves with Him, getting to know His likes and dislikes. Not only that, but it has to do with quickly getting to know Him. He says again in verse 21, acquaint now thyself with Him. And so he talks about acquainting, getting to know Him, His likes and dislikes, but then he puts an emphasis upon now. Get to know Him now. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, in verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. So let us tonight, all of us, get to know Him now. get to know Him immediately. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the days ahead hold. And we can meet the Lord at any time. And so let us get to know Him now. Again, my first point is there's a personal involvement with getting to know God. And we ought to get to know Him now. But then there's a third thing under personal involvement. It's getting to know Him and His likes and dislikes. Getting to know Him now. But also making the first move when it comes to this personal involvement. Notice what he says. He says, acquaint now thyself with Him. Acquaint now thyself with Him. Now, in salvation, He makes the first move. We talked about that this morning, that David sent out Ziba, which was the servant of David, and he went and he found Mephibosheth. He came to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth could not get to him. So it's the same way in salvation. Jesus, He seeks us out. He comes to us. He calls us to a place of repentance. And then we say yes to Him and we're saved. But then after salvation, as a child of God, it's up to us to make the first move, I believe. Let's see, it's Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 12. We won't turn there. But the scripture says, work out, at the very bottom, at the end of that verse, it says, work out thy salvation with fear and trembling. So once we have salvation, you see, Jesus, through one work, He worked in salvation through the new birth, but then we're to work out our salvation. There's to be this spiritual exercise day in and day out of learning Him. So therefore, it has to do with us making the first move to Him. We are to wake up in the mornings and seek the Lord. Throughout the day, we ought to meditate on Him. At evening time, we are to meditate on Him. And I know we just can't wake up and have a Bible in front of our face and walk and work and walk and work. I know that. But have our thoughts toward Him. Recognize Him. Acknowledge Him in our day-to-day living. You see, we make the first move after salvation. And so getting to know God has to do with those three elements in this first phrase. Acquaint now thyself with Him. Learn His likes and dislikes. Move quickly now and begin to be acquainted with Him. Make the first move. Acquaint now thyself with Him. So we see there's a personal involvement here. But number two tonight, I want you to notice there's not only a personal involvement when it comes to getting to know God. But number two, there is peace inwardly that comes. Look at that, the rest of that first phrase. He says, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Can I say that getting to know Jesus, peace does follow. You can testify of that this evening. Peace follows knowing Jesus. There's really two different kinds of peace when it comes to getting acquainted with God. Number one, there is positional peace at salvation. We are no longer enemies of God. The Lord has demolished that middle wall, a partition that was dividing us two. And now we are part of Him, and He is part of us. And so there is that positional peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so now we're not the enemies of the cross. Now we are friends, and now we're sons and daughters of Him through Jesus. So the first kind of peace when it comes to getting acquainted with God is the peace of salvation. We have peace with God. Isn't that a wonderful thought to know that the day that you and I die and our spirits, our souls goes on to be with the Lord, that there is nothing in between. There's no wall. There's no division. That's been handled at the cross, and we can just go on in because of the plan of salvation and what Jesus done. That's an amazing thought tonight to know that There's peace between us and God positionally. We are children of God. We can claim His promises and strive to fulfill His purposes. And so there's peace inwardly. There's positional peace that has to do with salvation. But then there's practical peace. Practical peace. And this has to do with a day in and day out situation. Practical peace. Living peace. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 15 says this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's part of the verse. Now that word rule here, it means to umpire. It means to decide. And so our job as believers is to get acquainted with God. Get to know Him in so much where the peace of God is leading us and guiding us and directing us. And so anytime we go to make a decision, we ask ourselves, is God leading? Do I have peace? You ever heard that before? Well, Brother Justin, what do you think about this? Should I take this job? Should I launch out this new ministry? What should I do? And then I would say, do you have peace about it? You would say, do you have peace about something? Someone asked you what they should do. Well, do you have peace about it? Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's I don't know. You know? But the verse says, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let Him umpire. Now, this is kind of fleshly, but I like it. MLB, baseball season is getting ready to start. Praise the Lord. I know this ain't a spiritual matter, baseball, but I'm just going to throw it in here. They finally came to a conclusion, and now we're going to have baseball. The next thing is to find out where Freddie Freeman's going. And at this point, I'm kind of like, well, he can do what he wants to do. He's let us, you know, figure it out to this far. Let him go anywhere he wants to go. I like to keep him, though. But there's the pitcher, there's the batter, and there's the umpire. I like this illustration. And the pitcher throws the ball, and it's either a strike. That sounds pretty good, didn't it? Or it's a ball, or foul ball, or, you know, something like that. Strike! And so the umpire calls the shots. It's the same thing with the Lord. You feel God is directing you to do something? Did He umpire what you think He's directing you to do? Do you have peace about it? Is He saying, strike, that's where I want you? God don't sound that way. But is he your umpire today? Is He calling the shots? Is He deciding for you which way to go? Are you allowing Him to umpire, or are you umpiring the shots, the calls in your life? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule. Let His peace guide. Let His peace direct. Let it rule. Have dominion. Direct you in your life. Let's see. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We're talking about that practical peace. We're talking about peace inwardly. Again, Eliphaz tells Job, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Again, we don't believe in Eliphaz's attack on Job, but the principles here we believe in. That when we get to know the Lord and we come to Him in salvation, then we begin to learn Him as we live for Him. After salvation, there is peace practically, not only positionally, but practically. We began to be at peace. We began to understand what the Lord is for and what He is not for, and how He leads us and guides us, and we allow Him to umpire the shots in our life, the directions we go. The peace of God is ruling in our hearts. And so when you get to know God, there is there's peace inwardly. And then lastly tonight, not only a personal involvement in getting to know God, peace inwardly when you get to know God, but then promises individually when you get to know God. Now these are promises that are forever, child of God, but they are to us individually. He says in verse number 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Good shall come unto thee. Now, tonight the world has their definition of good, and then the Bible has its definition of good. The world's definition of good associates with pride. If it feels good, if it doesn't set me back, if it doesn't involve work, then it's good. But then there is the Bible's definition of good, and it doesn't have to do with pride, it has to do with purpose. The Bible's definition of good has to do with something being good for us. It has things that have to do with maturing us. For example, in Romans 8, verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and to those who are the called according to His purpose. We don't know everything that's taking place in our life. I don't know why the Lord seemed fit to allow Brother David Smith to have cancer like he does. He don't know either. He's just trusting the Lord. Things happen in life and there's setbacks and there's heartaches, and the world would say, that's bad, that's not good. Well, being a child of God, there is good in that somewhere. God is working all of these things together for good. So when Eliphaz tells Job that, acquaint now thyself with him, be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Well, good shall come unto us. Sometimes it has a different face. Now, Job, no doubt, he's suffering, his body is breaking down, and he's telling Job that good shall come unto him. Well, ultimately it will, because of what God is accomplishing in the book of Job. Proving the devil wrong and using Job as a testament, a testimony during hard times. How did it end up at the end of the book of Job? He had double, didn't he? He had double. And so we see that good did come in the behalf of Job. And God did have a plan. Did it get ugly? Yes, it got ugly. Did Job suffer? Yes, he suffered. But there was a plan and there was a purpose. If the world were to view the book of Job and to respond to the book of Job, they would say, that's bad, that's bad. How could a loving God do all that and this and that? Well, we have this world, this lost and dying world, saying the same things today. How in the world could God? Why did God do this? Why did He allow this? Why did He allow that? And why we don't know to the degree of why, we do know in part some things that He's doing. He's working all things together for good. You know, why do loved ones die at a young age? Why is there children in the hospital with cancer? I can't tell you specifically why, but I do know that God has a plan and God has a purpose for all of those things. All right, He says that good shall come unto thee. Not only that, but we see that there is eternal good things for the child of God. Again, keeping in mind what Eliphaz said, thereby good shall come unto thee. There's eternal good things that we're looking forward to. There's spiritual good things that we enjoy now and we have now. Even some temporal good things God allows us to experience now. What about the home that you live in that God blessed you with? What about the automobiles that you have to get you back and forth to church and to work and your doctor appointments and all, family and friends and functions? Those are good things. What about the job you have? What about the insurance you have? What about the money you have to do what you need to do? Those are good things. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God will make us rich or we ever will be rich, but he does say he'll provide our needs. He does say he'll take care of us. And so having a home, a roof over our head, a family to love, a car to be in, a job to go to, all of these things are blessings from God tonight. All of them. James mentions in James chapter number 1 in verse 17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. How about that? The Father of lights. Every good gift comes down from him. Psalm chapter number 84 in verse 11, he says in that verse that no good thing will he withhold from thee that walks uprightly in him. So the Bible, these principles, I believe, are true tonight. Although Eliphaz and his way of attacking Job like he did are wrong, but I believe his statement in verse number 21 is true. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. That's the message tonight, getting to know God. And it's my prayer that we began to learn him a bit more each and every day. And I pray that it will extend out to you as well. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. Though the message was short, Lord, I pray, God, that we would reflect upon our own relationships with you. Lord, I pray that we would learn your likes and dislikes. God, that we would act immediately, that we would begin to learn you now. And God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your peace. Lord, thank you, God, that you are at work in all of our lives. Although on the surface, some things seem evil, some things seem just wrong that we don't even agree with. But God, we know that you're at work. You promised you are. And we know some way, somehow, somewhere, good will come from our situation, Lord. Help us have obedient hearts, humble spirits. Help us, like Mephibosheth did, Lord, and just surrender and humble ourselves before you. Help us keep our finger on the spiritual pulse of our relationship with you, God. We love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a